I would like to first acknowledge my co-authors, Guy Borges, as well as Cheryl and you from our group at ARG. As she said, I'm going to be talking about alcohol attributable fractions across these 10 countries in the Americas that you had first introduced. So there's been quite a bit of interest in the last few years with respect to the role that alcohol plays in injury. Specifically, there's been work towards estimating alcohol attributable fractions and studying how those fractions vary across countries. And they can be quite helpful in informing policymakers on designing policies and effective interventions. Clearly, when you look at injuries on an individual basis, there's a number of characteristics associated with that injury that are important in the occurrence of the event in the first place. Things that come to mind off the top of one's head are the environment that one is in, if you're driving and drinking, if you're in a bar, as opposed to being at home by yourself, so on. There are standard epidemiologic approaches that estimate the attributable fraction through the use of a relative risk estimate, that's the relative risk of injury. And along with the acute prevalence of alcohol use together, one can estimate the alcohol attributable fractions. The emergency departments provide a good opportunity to study these alcohol attributable fractions, mainly because we have samples of injury patients. And typically, well, here we're going to look at a sample of injured cases as well as control periods from these injury patients. Prior work that has looked at case injured patients and non-injured patients has found small attributable alcohol attributable fractions ranging from 2 to 6%. But one issue potentially is that control samples in these case control studies, it's not known how well they serve as a representative group of what one would want for control patients. That is, do medical patients from the same hospital, are they what one would want to use as a control as compared to something that's, say, drawn from a community that the hospital serves, that may be more representative of control patients that you would use to compare to injured cases. Alternatively, relative risk estimates used in attributable fractions can be estimated using a case crossover analytic approach. Probably not many people are familiar with that approach, but basically what it does is one compares exposure to the risk factor, in this case it's alcohol, in a fixed window, this case 6 hours prior to injury, during matched intervals of the same duration. So, for example, one could look at And effectively what that does is you control for the individual characteristics because you have the same person, the same gender, the same age, and so on. In the case of control periods, for the present analyses, we're going to look at control periods that consist of all of the 6-hour intervals in the past 12 months. Okay, so here is the same ERs that were presented in the other talks, except they're broken down by study. So you'll see there in given countries there are multiple studies, the sample size and the proportion of current drinkers, as well as the proportion reporting alcohol use in the 6-hour injury period prior to their injury. And you can see that the rates do vary pretty dramatically. with about 21 or so percent on average. Okay, so the way that one uses the prevalence and the relative risk to estimate the attributable fraction is through this formula. You'll notice that it's effectively a function of the prevalence of exposure to alcohol as well as the relative risk. So as the relative risk of the event increases, the alcohol attributable fraction, the maximum value that it can take is the prevalence of exposure, which is the I showed on the previous slide. And so increasing relative risk is associated with increasing alcohol attributable fraction as well. Here are the same studies and the estimates of the relative risk as well as the alcohol attributable fractions. They range from about 4% to about 42% and about 20% on average. So this estimate suggests that 20% of the injuries, alcohol exposure to alcohol is responsible for 20% of the injuries. Okay, so not only are we studying the values, but the way they vary across countries is important. And what we're looking at is some of the same measures that you and Rachel had discussed, being a gross domestic product, a country-level income type variable, a detrimental drinking pattern variable, as well as a variable measuring sanctions against bars for serving minors. So the latter two, the lower levels are associated with a less restrictive or less detrimental pattern, and higher values are associated with higher sanctions and a more detrimental drinking pattern. Here are the values of the DDP and the sanctions variable across studies. You'll notice that some of them do have DDP values of 1. Those were done because they're only defined at the country level, but within country we went in and looked at individual areas that were more and less, had higher and lower values of detrimental drinking. And the sanctions against bars serving minors was categorized into a 3-category variable. GDP was standardized before it was used in analyses. So here you'll see alcohol attributable fractions for each study and for each region. For the U.S. combined, it's about 16%. For Canada, it's about 8%. For South America, it's about 16%, and so on. Highest in Mexico and in Central America. If you look at the relationship of the alcohol attributable fraction by individual variables, country variables, those that I talked about before, the DDP sanctions against minors, against bars for serving minors, and GDP, you'll notice that the direction is positive for DDP and negative for both sanctions against bars for serving minors and GDP. And so we expect to see that in meta-regressions to follow. And here's where we look at individual predictors entered separately for Model 1, and you'll see that GDP increases, the outcome modeled is the log of 1 minus the attributable fraction, so that a positive coefficient means that higher GDP is associated with a lower attributable fraction. For DDP, it's the opposite. Higher GDPs are associated with lower alcohol attributable fractions. Oh, I'm sorry. It's modeled against 1 minus attributable fraction. So higher GDP is associated with a higher alcohol attributable fraction, and sanctions against bars for serving minors is the opposite direction. And you'll notice that in the model that includes them all, only the variable that measures sanctions against bars for serving minors is significant related to the attributable fraction. Okay, so the estimate of the alcohol attributable fraction for all cause injuries ranged from about 6 to 33%, with a pooled estimate of about 20, with the rate varying significantly across sites. And as the relative risks themselves were fairly high with a pooled estimate across studies of about 6, a lot of the variability in the alcohol attributable fraction that one sees is due to the variability in alcohol exposure rates in the 6 hours prior to injury. And GDP level of detrimental drinking pattern and degrees of sanctions against bars for serving minors were all associated with variability in the alcohol attributable fraction, with only the sanctions against bars for serving minors significant in the simultaneous model. Okay, so it's clear that there's a number of limitations that apply to these analyses, potentially methodological. The measurements that were used to assess alcohol attribution, the representation of the ERs, causality in terms of alcohol known to being causally attributing any individual given injury. It's clear that they do show that there's a significant burden of alcohol on an injury. And the relationship between sanctions against bars for serving minors and alcohol attributable fractions may indicate an area of policy that could be effective in reducing the burden of alcohol. And of course, further work would help to shed light on this issue. Okay?
Thank you, Jason.